הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want to look at something that's kind of intimate in Scripture. Friends, did you know that God really cares for Israel? Did you know that? Like deeply, 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 deeply. Here in Luke chapter 19, Yeshua was entering Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Wow, there's no place in the world like the Mount of Olives. It is just absolutely breathtaking. And wow, you can feel the history and you can feel the deep spiritual warfare that's going on, quite honestly, if you're there. I'm anticipating going next spring of next year. So if any of you want to start saving your shekels, somebody's ready. Okay, good. So Yeshua is entering Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives down into the valley there from the mountain. Remember, of course, that he would eventually be going to the execution stake. Yet at this time, even though it wasn't that far into the future, yet all the people, man, they were just celebrating. They were all around him. They were cheering him. They were praising God for all the miracles that they had seen Yeshua do. And they were just going nuts for Yeshua, right? The disciples, it says, were rejoicing. That's the scene, Yeshua coming into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, everybody just celebrating like crazy, rejoicing. But in the midst of this dramatic celebration, Yeshua's reaction was something dramatically different. Yeshua's reaction was a completely different tone. It was completely disconnected to everything that was surrounding him. What was something else was on Yeshua's mind in that moment of great fanfare and celebration about him? Why? Because he knew what would be happening soon. He would be going to execute, but he also knew it would be happening to Jerusalem and many of those people. And so verse 41, Luke 19:41, it says this: as he drew near and saw Jerusalem, what did Yeshua do? It says he wept over her. Just kind of pause for just a minute. Saying, if only you would recognize this day the things that lead to shalom, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will surround you with barricades and hem you in on all sides, and they will smash you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they won't leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Wow. That's intense, friends. In the midst of the hoopla and in the midst of rejoicing and celebration, in the midst of that, Yeshua is lamenting. Yeshua is weeping over Jerusalem. He wept for them. He knew that they would be suffering in part due to their rejection of God. His heart hurt for them because he could see everything that was going on, but he knew the reality of what was going to take place. And it was almost like it almost to me is the sense of Yeshua looking at them and just like, oh, I want for you to think about that for just a minute. And yes, we see in this part of God's heart and love for Israel and the Jewish people, no question. But also, friends, we see in this simply God's heart. People think of God as this disconnected puppeteer that thinks of humanity as peons. But that's not the truth at all. God is not disconnected. He doesn't think of us as just peons that are there for his just useless. Not in any way. This is not the truth. You get a sense of it by seeing Yeshua's reaction as he thinks about the people there in Jerusalem. It's interesting because when we think of the gamut of human emotions, each one of them conveys a different connotation. Each of our emotions elicit a different meaning, if you will. But in those moments, and I want you to think about this just in the realm of human emotion, in those moments of greatest meaning in your life, in the life of other people, in those moments, those few moments in life that we have that are of the greatest meaning, oftentimes, these emotions are accompanied by weeping. Oftentimes. Think about it for just a minute. When someone hears about losing someone they love, tears. Oftentimes, when someone experiences the greatest joy imaginable, tears. It's interesting, isn't it? Weeping is almost the ultimate expression of the depth of emotion. So when Yeshua says that he weeps for Jerusalem and her people, it speaks volumes of his love and devotion to them. It really reveals the heart of God that he would feel so viscerally affected as he's thinking about them and their future. And this has connotations to the current conflict as well that's going on, no question. For sure, God weeps for all who are innocent, who lose their lives due to the depravity of man. That includes those in Gaza. But unquestionably, God has a special place in his heart for Israel and his chosen people. And listen to this. God knows that it is because of his selection of this people that they are the most persecuted people in the history of the world. Think about that for just a minute. I'm not just saying it is a fact, as a fact it is, but I'm giving you a perspective that God gets it. He understands that because of his selection of this people, it was because of his selection of them that they are the most persecuted people in the history of the world. Friends, best know that this evokes sadness in our Heavenly Father when they suffer, as they did on October 7th and subsequently. Best know he feels that. He is well aware of the ramifications of his decisions. And friends, we should weep for them as well. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 15 says this: rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Friends, we have to have an empathy for others. If you're a follower of God, we can't be some kind of a glacier that's ice cold. We can't be that way. Not if you're really trying to follow the God that loves people. You can't be a hard wall that never can be penetrated and that never can be shaken at all or vulnerable at any point. There's a God-given nature that we should embrace. God-given. It's right here in Scripture. There's a God-given nature that we should embrace where we rejoice with those who rejoice. And I'll pause there because, friends, we should rejoice when other people rejoice. So please don't be one of these people that somebody says to you, "Oh, I just got a big raise. I'm so excited." And you go, "Oh, that's really nice. Really nice. Yeah, I've been a long time since I've had a raise. Thanks for that information. Yay, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Yeah, oh, great, you got a new car. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. My transmission's going out. Yeah, that's nice. So, congratulations, I'm so excited. I can't even hold it back." No, don't do that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. But also, weep with those who weep. Y'all, as Ma'amanim, as believers, there's got to be something within us if we serve and worship the one true God that cares for people, right? That has a love for people, that hurts when other people are hurting, that weeps when they weep. There's a pureness and there's a humility in weeping that's deep. And it's hard to understand completely even. When I say there's a pureness and a humility, it's humbling sometimes to weep. That's why people joke around with the expression, "I'm an ugly crier," right? You've heard that expression before, right? You know, they don't frequently show supermodels weeping, you know? It's not the best look, right? Everybody, you know, and it's, and both genders, as a side note, there are two, both genders have issues with weeping sometimes. Is that guys sometimes have issues weeping because of the fact that, you know, it's not seen by some as a very manly thing to do. You know, "I never cry." You know, I get a guy who comes to me and says, I never, ever cry. I say, "Well, you know, maybe you need some prayer then." And then sometimes women don't want to cry and they're feeling, "Oh, my eye makeup's going to run all over the place. Give me this." God bless them. Oh. There's a humility in weeping, a pureness in it. It's a vulnerability, and it's something that connects us to others. Friends, I'll say, be willing to cry. It's not a weakness. Now, I'm not saying that you should be, you know, it's like, you know, "Oh, They've closed the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. Oh, it's Sunday. I can't get my Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know, listen, you understand what I'm saying here, okay? my kids have almost cried about that at Chick-fil-A. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please. Ecclesiastes 7. There's something especially genuine about shedding tears. When we mourn, there's a depth of understanding. And it's not trite, y'all. It is not trite. It's not foolish. When you cry, right? When somebody cries, there's a pureness, right? Think about when you're around somebody who's just really crying. There's a vulnerability. There's a realness. There's no pretense. There's a genuineness. Somebody's being very real when they cry. It's interesting. And oftentimes you see crying when there's mourning, when somebody passes. And it's so interesting to me, and it's pretty deep, what the wisest man ever to live says. And it's a little counterintuitive. I'm completely straight with you when I say this, that it's a little baffling to me. And I only think I partially understand it. But I'm trying to weigh into it, and it really relates to this word. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. The wise man said, better to go to a house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, since that is the end of all mankind, and the living should take it to heart. Grief is better than laughter. For though the face is sad, the heart may be glad. The heart of the wise is in a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in a house of pleasure. Yay, yay, man, that is heavy. Ooh, that is weighty. That's one of those passages, Goldberg, that can make me like think for hours on it, you know, trying to fully grasp that and to try to internalize it. We see in this that at the end of the day, God is looking for us to be genuine. I just in preparation for the message, I went in my computer. On my computer, I've got folders for lots of things, of course, and I have one folder that's called, you would expect this of a rabbi, right? It's called funerals. And this just kind of makes sense. It's like one of the things that I am honored and called to do periodically. And I counted them. I've done over 70 funerals. That's a lot. And guess what? At funerals, there are a lot of tears. There are a lot of raw, sincere feelings. And the truth is, thinking about it to what Ecclesiastes says, good or bad feelings in the moment, because there can be both when we remember somebody's past, good or bad feelings in the moment, death confronts us with the eventuality of our own existence here on earth. And truly, as Melech Shlomo said, if we simply seek pleasure all the time, we will live a very shallow life. It's a shallow existence, just constantly seeking pleasure to pleasure to pleasure. Sometimes the tears are helpful to put things into perspective and to prioritize things in our lives better. See, when we're with people who are mourning, we see the truth of the eventuality of our lives and the temporal nature of our lives here on this earth. And it may help us, and I think this is what King Solomon is getting at here in Ecclesiastes, is it helps us put things in perspective a little bit. You know, if you're out here doing this fun, wild thing, this fun, nothing against doing things that are enjoyable or pleasurable. But if that's our sole focus, then we lose perspective on what life is. and the fact that this life is just kind of like a preparation for eternity. This life is not the end, but what we do in this life is of great importance. Sometimes tears are helpful to put these things into perspective. And when you go into a house of mourning, when you go into a house of mourning, you do what we read about back in Romans chapter 12. We weep with those who weep. It's a visceral and a beautiful thing to do. John chapter 11. Very interesting story. One of Yeshua's good friends' name was Lazarus. I used to enjoy an old song by a music artist named Carmen of blessed memory. He used to have a great song, Lazarus Come Forth. Some of you may remember that. What a great song. You need to look that one up. If you're watching online, don't do it in the middle of my message, please. Have some respect here. I can see you. The people listening via podcast are even more freaked out. There's no camera. Okay. One of Yeshua's good friends was a guy named Lazarus. Lazarus was a brother of Miriam and Martha. And scriptures make it clear how Yeshua felt about Lazarus. Something I want to share with you. Y'all, this is going to change how you think about Yeshua, how you think about God. Get ready. John chapter 11, verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Yeshua saying, Master, the one you love is sick. Meaning Lazarus is sick. When Yeshua heard this, he said, This sickness will not end in death. It is for God's glory so that Ben Elohim, the Son of God, may be glorified through it. Now Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Okay, so it's clear here, friends, that Yeshua loved Lazarus. Yeshua loved this guy. He was a friend. He was a brother. He was a bud. He was somebody we cared about. And he also loved Lazarus' sisters, Miriam and Martha. You've heard about them in the scriptures. We read about them in other places. But friends, by the time Yeshua made it to their town, guess what? Lazarus was already dead. He was already dead. You know, people didn't just say, well, let me hop in my car and head on over there. Be there in 20 minutes. No, friends, you have to travel mountains. It takes time. And he was in the middle of doing some stuff where he was, and he didn't leave right away. And so finally, he's come into the area where Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who was already in the grave at that point, were. Verse 20, John 11, 20. When Martha heard that Yeshua was coming, she went out to meet him, but Miriam sat in the house. Martha said to Yeshua, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, man. But I know even now that whatever you may ask of God, he will give you. Yeshua said to her, Your brother will rise again. Ooh, man, cue the Spielberg music at that point. You know, it's like, whoa, what did he just say? Come on, somebody, that's a good one. Woo, man, I don't know what's going on with that, Nelson. Mm-mm. That's a powerful moment for sure. There's no question. That's like, whoa, your brother will rise again. It's so funny. Her reaction was like, yeah, I know, in the final resurrection, when we all go to heaven, he'll be coming along. It's like she didn't get what he was saying. Yeshua had arrived on the scene, but friends, you could hear her pain. She came to Yeshua, and you know how she must have been. She said, if you'd only been here, if you'd only been here, Yeshua, if you'd only been here. You can feel her pain. Can't you feel her pain? This is her brother. Verse 32, let's skip down. John 11, 32. So when Miriam came to where Yeshua was, she saw him and fell at his feet. This is the other sister. She fell at his feet, saying to him, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Yeshua saw her weeping and the Judeans who came with her weeping, he was deeply troubled in his spirit and himself agitated. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Master. They tell him. Yeshua wept. Yeshua wept. So the Judeans said, oh, see how he loved him. Okay, friends, we know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. Yeshua says, Lazarus, come forth. And after 4 days, dead, he comes out of that tomb. It's a great miracle, and it's a sign of the Messiah, by the way, an ancient Jewish sign of the Messiah, for sure. But that's not what I want to focus on today. How about that? When I don't want to focus on the miracle of resurrection, I want to focus on Yeshua's reaction. As a child, I was taught, when you're learning about things as a child, I was taught about the shortest verse in the whole Bible. And it's John 11:35. It's the shortest verse in the entire Bible. It's two words. Yeshua wept. But I'm going to tell you something, y'all. What a power-packed verse. It says that Yeshua was deeply troubled in spirit, and he wept when he saw her and others weeping. Friends, it's crucial to understand in the story why Yeshua wept, and the people didn't get it right. Not completely, at least. Very, very importantly, to understand, we have to look back at what we read earlier in verse 23, and even in verse 11, for that matter. In both places, Yeshua makes it clear that he is aware. He is already aware that Lazarus is dead. This is not news to him. This is not like, oh, Lazarus is dead. And it's and his reaction is the reaction to Lazarus's death. That's not it. He knew days before about Lazarus. He's known for days that Lazarus was dead. But here's the interesting thing, because he also made it clear that he was planning on resurrecting him from the dead. Hear me, back in earlier when he was in the other city, he told his disciples, I've got to bring him up from his sleep. And the disciples thought that meant that he was sleeping. And they said, well, he's sleeping. Maybe he needs some rest, Yeshua. I mean, he's trying to get well. that's not what they totally he missed. What's the point here? Yeshua already knew days ahead of time that he was dead and that he was going to resurrect him. Yeshua already knew this ahead of time. You can see it in the context. In other words, he knew that Lazarus was not going to stay dead. So this gives us important context as to why Yeshua wept. He was not weeping for the death of Lazarus. He was weeping because he saw the pain and the mourning of Martha and Miriam, two of his dear friends and disciples, and he was empathizing with them. And the fact that they hurt so much tore him up. He knew what was happening with Lazarus. Friends, I want to tell you something. In this moment, you get an insight into how God in heaven feels about you. Sometimes I think we feel disconnected to God. And sometimes we feel especially disconnected when we're hurting. We sometimes feel like God doesn't care, or that he can't really relate. But we see in this passage that God relates on the deepest and most emotional level you could possibly reach. His care is beyond what we can even imagine. Even though he knew he was about to resurrect Lazarus, he was so moved by the pain of Mary and Martha that he too felt pain, intense pain, pain strong enough to cause him to weep. It doesn't say that he shed a tear. It said he wept. It's so interesting because as sad as this moment was, in many ways, it is one of the most encouraging passages in all of Scripture to us all. It is one of the most encouraging scriptures you'll ever read. Why? Because, my friends, it tells us that he gets it. He gets it. He really, really gets it. He gets us. Because even though God sees the big picture, he also understands the emotion we feel only seeing the small picture. I want to say that again. Even though God sees the big picture, he understands the emotion that we feel only seeing the small picture. Listen, friends, we all have difficult things that happen to us. Loved ones die. Relationships break down. We go through sickness. We struggle financially at times. These things can happen. And yes, God knows well the end of the story. If we are faithful to him, we will be with him in eternity, where there are no tears, there is no pain, there is great joy. So God knows the big picture. He knows the end of the story, but that does not mean that God does not care about your tears now. He does. I don't have to speculate about that. It's right there in the text we just read. He cares about you and what you're going through at this very minute, even though he knows what the future's going to bring. And he knows the good things down the road, but he feels the pain that you have right now. He cares greatly. In fact, he cares so much that he might even weep with you. Friends, that in and of itself should encourage you. That in and of itself should give you hope. That in and of itself should be uplifting to you to know that God cares for you that much about where you're at right now. And he's not like, he wasn't, gosh, and you know, in that moment, he could have been, Mary, Martha, you don't get it. I'm about to resurrect him. Why are you crying? You pitiful thing. No, he wept. He wept with them. At the same time, we do have to always know and remember that there is an end to the story. In this way, we need not weep forever. Let's conclude with John chapter 16. John 16. Here at this point, Yeshua was telling his Talmidim about his second coming. And he told them this in John chapter 16, verse 19. Yeshua knew that they wanted to question him. So he said to them, are you asking about this that I said a little while and you will no longer see me? And again, in a little while, you will see me. In other words, when I go up and then I'm going to return one day. Verse 20, amen, amen, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will celebrate. You will be filled with sorrow, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Oh, man. Golly. So recognize, my friends, that your God loves you. He loves you so much that he weeps with you. Your tears are important and held in his hands. Your tears are not in vain. At the same time, remember what Yeshua says in John chapter 16. And for that matter, what is written back in Psalm 30, weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let the God who loves you and empathizes with you encourage you today. The title of my message is Weep. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to, wherever you are, lift your hand and we'll pray together. If you've never said yes and committed your life to God, but you want to today, if that's you, just lift your hand. Maybe you're watching online or listening on the podcast, and that's you. You've never committed your life to God. Repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God. Wow, if you said that prayer, there's a transformation that happens. It's so interesting, friends, because what we do here at Beth Hillel is not about religion. Honest to goodness, it's not. It's about a relationship. And I think this message, in more ways than most, reveals the nature of that relationship we have with our Creator. And the fact that people think of God as just so distant, but he's not. Oh, he's with you, and he cares about the little things. He cares about what you care about. He hurts when you hurt. And yes, he weeps when you weep. Wow. That's a different kind of God than is portrayed out there. So intimate, so caring, so loving. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're that kind of a God to us, Lord. And sometimes I know we feel like you're distant, but that's only our own perception. Nothing could be further from the truth, Lord. Let us feel your love more than ever. Let us know it deep into our hearts so that when we're going through it, Lord, we're encouraged. Why? Because we know that you're with us and that you care about what we're going through and what we feel. That means a lot, even when other people may not understand or even know. Thank you, God, for this. We love you, we bless you, and we ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhallel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.